Right now, joining us on the phone is Elise Harris. She is an American journalist from Denver, currently stationed in Rome. She works as the Rome correspondent for Catholic News Agency, and she joins us on the phone right now. Hey, Elise, how are you this morning?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Excellent. So you're stationed in Rome right now. You're from Denver, but you're in Rome. How long have you been in Rome?
I've been in Rome for about 4 years. So
is that a pretty good gig to have, to be in Rome covering the church for the Catholic News Agency? I mean, you're from Denver, and I'm sure Denver is a wonderful place. I've been there many times. However, it's a lifetime goal for people to get to Rome someday. So to be there for 4 years, are you still like giddy to be in Rome, or is it, well, it's my job and I'm in Rome, it's where it's at?
You know, I think it's a little bit of everything. You know, I hadn't planned on coming to Rome, you know, and I, so when the opportunity arose, it was something of a surprise. And I think I was very, very happy to come here. You know, in terms of career-wise and professionally, it's been kind of a dream come true. But of course, I miss Denver, the mountains, you know, and having easy access there.
Sure.
You know, the one thing I think people realize about Rome is it's pretty chaotic to live here. It's beautiful, but, you know, it has its unromantic side as well that we're all going to have to get used to.
Everything does, right? There's no panacea in the world. Everything has its realities. Okay, so thank you so much for jumping on the phone with us. We do appreciate it. I saw the story out last week, and we didn't get a chance to talk about it last week on our show. So there's a story out, and the headline, of course, is very like exciting. A Pope considering allowing married men as priests. It's a little more nuanced than that, because this is a very specific issue that the church is trying to address, that in Brazil and in the Amazonian area, it sounds like for every 10,000 Catholics in the region out there, they only have one priest. Of course, there's a worldwide shortage of priests, but in some areas much more desperate than others. So it's going to be so. The Pope hasn't necessarily come out and said, I want to allow married men to be priests, but he is allowing this to come up for discussion. And if I'm reading correctly, possibly for a vote by the bishops of the region as to whether they want to allow this. Is that basically what's going on?
Yeah, I think that's kind of a good summary. And I mean, I appreciate you saying that the issue is a little more nuanced than what, you know, some of the headlines would say. You know, and I think Pope Francis is somebody that's open to discussing a lot of things. I think he has a very open mind, and he says, if it's an issue, let's discuss it and let's see what the possible solutions are. And so I think this is something the bishops in the Amazonian area have come to him about, because you're right, that statistic is correct. There's probably about 10,000 Catholic faithful, you know, in the Amazonian area per one priest, which is a lot, you know, for one priest to handle. So I think they realize there's a problem there. And the solution, I think he says, let's look at the different possibilities. And when this first came up in March, it came up because somebody asked the Pope about it in an interview. And he'd suggested that perhaps in certain cases with certain men in that certain area, but he did, you know, that it would be possible, and he's open to discussing it. So nothing's happened yet, but he says, maybe we'll talk about it. But he did clarify in that same interview that, you know, blanket optional celibacy for the priesthood is not the right solution, and it's not necessarily going to happen on a universal level. So it would be within that very isolated situation.
But I imagine so. But that's how it starts out, right, Elise? I mean, the hope for a lot of people that wish that priests were allowed to be married would be that step opens other doors, or the possibility, if it works, if it helps alleviate the problems. And as we would imagine, the priest shortage continues to grow and grow. We have an aging population of priests. Priests are not retiring like they used to, forced back into saying Mass. I mean, I see it here at our Catholic churches all the time. We have an incredible shortage compared to when I was a young altar server 40 years ago. There's a big difference in who is available and how many people are becoming priests. So I imagine that among the very conservative old school Catholics in Rome, there would be concern about the opening of this door and whether what that would lead to. How has that discussion gone? Is there concern about the future if the Pope does allow this in this one particular region?
You know, I think there is concern. I think when the Pope says he's open to discussing something like this, you know, a lot of eyebrows are raised and a lot of people start to get nervous, because there is a shortage of priests. But for example, in my local area in Denver, our seminaries are starting to fill up. You know, so you have a younger generation of priests that's starting to come in. A lot of younger men are starting to feel attracted to this way of life. And so I think that's been a sign of hope for the church in many ways. But when looking at how to deal with the shortage on a practical basis, I think little pockets here, it's going to be a lot easier, you know, to say maybe in this case or in this one isolated area, we could allow this. But for example, you have the church booming in Africa. You have the highest number of vocations right now, I think, is coming out of Africa. So you have a lot of missionaries that are coming, and that's been a source for other parishes around, you know, in the Western world, perhaps, is that we've been able to benefit from the thriving church there. And so it's something, there's a whole balance, and it's a bigger question than just celibacy in this. And I think there are some people, you're right, who are perhaps afraid that that might happen. But even a couple months ago, the Pope had said, you know, well, let's study the female diaconate, but he also gave a very clear answer to no on the ordination of women. So I think we can expect, let's discuss this, but within these parameters, and it's really not going to go outside of, you know, the parameters that the Pope has already set.
Why do you think, Elise, that he said no so strongly to women ever becoming priests, but is willing to at least discuss the idea of married men becoming priests?
I think that's because it's a different issue in a sense. Like the women's ordination, I think, is a whole nother area of the church, and even theologically, that has a lot of different nuances there. And whereas for the ordination of men, like married men in some cases, the Catholic Church already makes exceptions. For example, if you have priests who are Anglican or another rite who convert to Catholicism, in some cases, the church will allow them to maintain their priestly right, but they already have a family. So if they already have that ordination, you know, in some cases, the church already does this, you know, in rare exceptions like that. And then these men that we're talking about are a very specific class of men called, you know, what the church called in Latin, viri probati. You know, it's the Latin term for just kind of like, it means proven men that are usually over 35 and already married, and they become permanent deacons in the church. If you see somebody, they don't have full faculties that the priest does, but they help out in certain ways. And so those are kind of the group of men that we're talking about. And so it would be allowing people who are perhaps already deacons or already on that path or have already been ordained to the diaconate in some ways, expanding their faculties in that sense. So it's something that is kind of already being, there are already exceptions in some ways. And so this would perhaps just be broadening those exceptions in certain areas.
So I wonder if some, and I'm just spitballing ideas, I guess, but I wonder if the way for the church in some ways to maintain the traditional priests don't marry, women aren't priests, is to sort of change mass possibly over the years. The deacons do, and certainly in my parish, do more and more and more than they ever have done to take more burden on, I think, because of the fewer priests. So if we allow more deacons and more deacons to have a little more responsibility within the church, that might be sort of the way for the church to alleviate some of the manpower shortages, but still maintain priests are celibate, priests aren't married, they're married to God, and be able to keep that tradition alive while still helping make sure that you can have Mass for the faithful.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's something, I think for the church, all possible, they're open to looking at, you know, whatever solution might work, and perhaps, you know, it depends on, you know, I don't think anything specifically with the liturgy would change, you know, in Mass, but like the priest would always have to, I think, you know, be the ones to, like, you know, consecrate the Eucharist and everything. Like, deacons at this point can't, you know, they can help out with sacraments and stuff, but they can't say a full Mass. They can't consecrate, you know, the host for Mass. So that's something I think that will always perhaps be reserved to priests. But if you have practically, you know, the needs of sacraments for baptisms, you know, and different things, like the deacons can help out with maybe some of the other overflow work that priests have to do in that sense, you know. And so I think, yeah, perhaps we could look at an increasing role of, or an increasing presence or involvement on the part of deacons. So I think that's something that perhaps we could see. I don't know that they would ever change the liturgical rules, but I mean, I think it's absolutely something that's possible.
How is Pope Francis doing? I, you know, here in America, we're just not hearing a lot about a lot of other things right now because there's so many things going on in this country right now, whether it's in politics or currently in entertainment. But Pope Francis has been such a change from the previous pope, and whether he would agree with it or not, seems way more progressive and just a different leadership style. Is that jibing well with Rome? Are things working smoothly, or is there, you know, I remember when he first was elected and first things were coming out that he said, the media would, there'd be big headlines, and that's how we do things now, right? You appreciated me saying nuance, because nowadays we read the headlines and we think we know what the story is because we don't read newspapers anymore. We read headlines on our phones or tablets. So when Pope Francis was saying certain things, there was a great outcry of he's saying this, he's saying that. And then people were saying he's, you know, settle down on what you think he's saying because you might not fully understand what he is saying. How are things working out with his papacy and the traditionalness of the Catholic Church?
You know, to keep on that word, you know, this is also a nuanced topic, you know, and I think that there are, you know, there's a saying here in Rome, sometimes they use around Rome, around the Vatican, like everything must change so that everything can stay the same. You know, so you have some people that say things need to change, but they actually really don't want change. You know, so you have some people that see what Francis is doing, and they're not necessarily in support of how he's restructuring things. So they, you know, it's a different model, and he's very much about decentralization, which is hard for some people in the Vatican to stomach, especially if they're the ones who have kind of had, you know, perhaps the bulk of authority in some things, to have that taken away in some areas, or to change the structure of how, you know, inner workings of the church have functioned for years, you know, throughout John Paul II's pontificate. You know, I think a lot of people are perhaps startled, or, you know, it's change is uncomfortable. So you do have some people that are not on board, you know, and I think that is, you know, it's going to be natural anytime you have a change or somebody coming in and doing things differently. So you do see some of that, but you also see a lot of people that are understanding what Francis is doing. And I think it's taken a few years for that to happen, for people to really understand his mentality and his approach. And I did an interview not too long ago. The Pope has a group of nine cardinal advisors that he meets with every few months to talk about kind of reform and different points of church governance. And so when I was talking to one of these guys, he told me that at first they weren't really sure how they felt about what the Pope was doing. But over time, they said his vision has become much more clear, and it's become a lot more obvious to them. And in certain ways, what he's doing makes sense, and it's the right path to take. I think you have both sides there. I think you have some people that are absolutely not on board, but you have others that are starting to realize also the wisdom of what he's doing and are in support of perhaps some of the changes, at least on an internal level, if we're talking about, you know, the reform that he's been trying to carry forward.
The Pope is 80 years old, but he seems very energetic. Has he been slowing down at all in his papacy?
No, and we feel it too. So I would say that I'm, you know, I'm aging myself here. You know, I'm not 30 yet. You know, I'm 29. You know, so I'm kind of like, I cannot keep up with him. So he's kind of, he's wearing all of us. You know, we call it the Vaticanisti out as well. You know, so he's somebody that certainly kept a very lively pace and a very active pace. You know, and I think one thing we have noticed is he's not taking as many international trips as he used to. And when he does, they're a lot shorter.
Ah.
And so that's something we're starting to see some of that. You know, I think he's realizing he can't keep the same pace he had or the same momentum at the beginning, just because, you know, he is 80 and it's a lot of work. So, I mean, and that's a practical way we perhaps see him taking a step back, but he certainly hasn't stopped traveling altogether. He's going to Myanmar and Bangladesh at the end of the month. And then on a day-to-day basis, there's just a lot going on. So in some ways, he's taking a step back, but in no way is he completely slowing down.
His predecessor, Pope Benedict, who was, in my mind, very different pope than Pope Francis has turned out to be, was the first to renounce the papacy since, like, I think it says 1294, I read. So he basically retired, and I imagine due to age, he's 90 years old now. Do you hear much about him? Is he doing okay? Is his health okay?
Yeah, you know, and this is in the news. There was a headlines just even a couple weeks ago about Benedict. You know, and everybody thought he had passed away, or was sick, or ailing, or something. And I mean, he's old. He's 90, as you mentioned. So I think they're natural signs of age. But he's in good health overall. He's old. He can't really walk as well anymore. You know, he uses a walker when he walks, and he still receives people, though. I think it's common for him to receive people in the afternoons, not every day, but, you know, if there's somebody who requests, you know, and has a special intention they would like to come talk to him about or just meet him, he still receives people. And he generally, yeah, he's very clear in his mind. He follows even political situations very well, you know, and I had the honor to meet him in March. A few of my colleagues and I, you know, had an opportunity. There was a special anniversary for our company, and we'd asked for an audience, and we got that. And he was, he received about five of us, and he was very clear-minded, and he was asking about current situations, you know. And so he has the natural signs of age. Perhaps he can't hear as well, he can't see as well, you know, but it's not, you know, in no way is he on the deathbed, shall we say.
Well, that's good to hear. Elise Harris is a writer for Catholic Link. She is stationed in Rome right now. Are you in Rome for the foreseeable future? Is this just a continuing assignment until you decide to do something else with your career?
Yep. For right now, this is indefinite. So I'm happy where I'm at. And for now, this is where I'm at.
Excellent. Well, enjoy the rest of your weekend. Thank you so much for jumping on. I hope we can chat again.